Sweet spotters.
I'm so excited today.
I can see that.
And that is my bride. How are you, honey?
I am great. So, question right off the bat.
Yes.
Where did the sweet spotters come from? Like, that's our thing now, sweet spotters?
For me, it is not so much where it came from, it's who it represents.
Okay.
It's the people who choose to join us. They have a choice. They don't have to be here. They choose to join us.
Right.
And so with that,
we just kind of gave him a little nickname.
Well, not only that, we talk about finding that sweet spot, right? And our sweet spot is when they join us. So they are sweet spotters.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, it's
wonderful to talk to you, but it's so much better when we have company.
Let's start the conversation.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the sweet spot. Now, you probably wonder, what is the sweet spot?
The sweet spot.
Sweet spot.
Sweet spot.
What is the sweet spot?
It's all about me today.
What?
Yes, today is all about me.
Okay, explain yourself.
Well, today we're talking about fathers. You can't be one of those.
Oh, you are too cute.
It is about dads today. I say who's, you say daddy. Who's that? Oh, no.
I am so glad you are enjoying your moment. I am so glad. So I guess our conversation is going to be what?
All about the dads today. Happy Father's Day. Well, it's kind of just passed, but you know what we mean. It's Daddy's Day.
Yeah. We're going to talk about dads, being that, you know, we celebrated Father's Day and all of that. Mm. And, you know, and I know both of us have great stories, you know, in regards to our dads.
Certainly non-traditional stories.
Non-traditional stories, right? So let's talk about our dads.
You know what? Can I go first?
Sure.
Okay.
I guess.
All right. So I'm going to go first. My father and mother met in high school. Unfortunately, it wasn't. She was in high school and he was interning as a university student. So that necessarily wasn't supposed to happen, right? So I came along out of that meeting, and my dad was the first one in his family to graduate university. He had finished and he was interning at the high school at the time. So he was the college intern, and she was in her final year of high school, right? They developed this relationship, and
so it wasn't that bad. It wasn't like
he hadn't actually finished. He was in that internship period.
Okay.
So she was in her final year of high school, and she was the, you know, the high school sweetheart, right? The prom queen, and he became her king, But my mom was a very proud person, as you know.
Right? Yes, I do.
And he being sort of the first, and this was an all segregated high school, right? So these are, it seems like, you know, that was so long ago, right? But this was an all segregated high school. And then she didn't want his family to believe that she was trying to cling on to him because he was a university student, right? Because education that time, a real premium, wasn't necessarily readily available to everyone, and him being graduate. So he lived about an hour away. So she didn't want his family to think that she was trying to cling on to him. So she stayed in Little Dunedin, Florida, and he went back over to Bradenton, where he was from, and he paid for this course for her, this admin course for her, and she was the first person of color to work an administrative position for the city of Dunedin, right? And she did that for 38 years before she retired, right? But this is not about her, it's about him. And he then went over and he they kind of grew apart, being separated there, but he was supportive from where he was and didn't play a big role in my growing up. But he didn't have to, right? Because, you know, things went pretty easily, and school came pretty easily, sport came pretty easy. So he was always there. He was always in the background. The biggest thing he did for me, though, right, is, you know, what does your dad do? My dad's a school teacher. He also runs the youth center. He's the president of the Sickle Cell Foundation. And so he was this icon over there. So while he wasn't right there with me, right, he was an icon. In Bradenton, and when he passed away, the article in the newspaper said Bradenton loses local hero, right? Mm-hmm. And so he was a father for a lot of kids who didn't have fathers.
Right.
While he wasn't there present with me. Mm-hmm. He was a father for a lot of kids that didn't have fathers, and so you know. Family and relationships take all different kinds of shapes. And, you know, on this Father's Day, I can remember my father proudly, even though he wasn't necessarily ultra present in my life, right? I can think fondly about the contribution that he made in so many lives.
Why do you think that dads or fathers, I know when you talk to a lot of people, it's my mom this and my mom that and mom did this and mom taught me this. But you don't hear that a whole lot when it comes to fathers. Mm. There's a huge absence of fathers. Do you have any comment on that? Like, why do you think that is, that there's that lack of relationship, that lack of connection with fathers?
I know God has significance in everyone and everything, but I often joke that God's best day was when he made mothers, right? And mothers are made uniquely, and they actually are the ones who give birth to you. So mm-hmm. I think there is potentially a connection that's associated with them actually going through the pains of birth and giving birth. Mm-hmm. And dads have the fun part.
They do.
Yeah. Hey, it's amazing. Yeah, so,
dad walks in the house. Yes, yeah, dad, yeah. Forget yeah. mom, right?
So there is a unique, you know, relationship there with moms, and dads can have similar kinds of bonds and similar kinds of relationships. But, you know, in the more traditional setting, the mom was at home and she was really the one that was there. And so it's more explainable. Mm-hmm. In earlier years, right. Like when we were younger, right? Today, moms are working and doing all of those other fabulous things as much and more than dads are. And so it's less explainable today mm-hmm. than it was in the past. But I really don't have a good answer for you here.
Yeah, I was, you know, I just wanted to put it out there. I was just curious about that. But speaking of fathers, and for me, fathers are, it's like they're more of the protectors, mm-hmm. if I can say that. Mm-hmm. For instance, recently in the news, over in Dominican, there was a Canadian dad who was murdered. And he died protecting his daughter because they were, someone came up to him and tried to rob them while they were walking. Mm. And this Canadian dad fought to protect his daughter and he lost his life. Mm. So it's like when you think of fathers, you think of them as being protectors. And she wrote this beautiful thing that she posted, you know, about her dad being her hero. Mm-hmm. Because he literally stepped in front of her and saved her life. So mm-hmm. when it comes to dads, I think of them more as protectors. As for my dad, growing up...
Before you get into your story, okay, which is extremely compelling, I'm a little slow, okay, right? You know, I'm a guy, so we're a little slow. I think
your dad.
I think I got it now, right? It is communication,
okay,
right? I think that moms communicate better,
mm-hmm,
more often,
mm-hmm,
and with and more at a heart level,
mm,
than dads do, and so I believe that connection is because of more effective communication. Mm. Dads are often awkward in conversation, especially as you get into deeper subjects and that, mm-hmm, kind of thing. And moms are continuously communicating. They're communicating all the time. They communicate a lot, mm-hmm, about a lot of the more yes, about a lot of the more important things that are,
right,
going on in a child's life, mm-hmm, and sort of mom and dad kind of talk about the kids, but mom often communicates it to, mm-hmm, the kids, right,
mm-hmm,
and as they move along. So maybe just an idea.
Because
I didn't give you really an answer at all before. So
there's
maybe one attempt, and this is a great setup because the anticipation of your story is.
Okay, that was good. I give you that. Okay. But for me, when I talk about protectors and dads, it really does paint the picture for my dad, growing up with my dad. Like you said, moms are the ones that are, you know, they're the disciplinarians. I know in my family, my mom was the disciplinarian. You know, my dad never beat us. I got one spanking from my dad, and that's because I broke this beautiful treehouse that was given to us.
You do know they don't say beat anymore.
I know, huh? That's why I said spank. Okay. But hey, listen, when we were growing up,
yes,
it wasn't a spanking, babe. It was a beating.
Yes,
sorry.
Spare the rod and
that's
spoil the child.
That's how it was.
Yes.
You got your bottom beat. Sorry. That's just the way it was.
Oh. Yes. Pink was not my favorite color.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. But anyway, growing up, my dad, he was present. I grew up with my father in our home, mm-hmm, but he was present, but he wasn't present, if that makes sense, mm-hmm, right? He was there. He protected us. He took care of us. He provided for us. But there was this awkwardness. There was this distance kind of thing, right? Because for my dad fought in the Korean War, mm-hmm, and he saw some things that he never, ever, ever talked about. And just until recently, we're figuring out that, oh, wow, he actually had PTSD, right? And you didn't know about that back then. No one talked about that back then, right? And when I talk about my dad today, I'm pretty open. And I talk about how he had an alcohol problem and he drank a lot, and we realized that was because it was his way of coping when he came back from the war. Mm-hmm. That was his way to stay present in society, was to drink and forget about all the horrible things that he saw when he was in the Korean War. But like I said, growing up, my dad, you know, he loved us to pieces. But my mom was a disciplinarian, and we communicated with our mom. My dad worked and provided, but my mom was the communicator, like you were saying earlier. But I know I lost my dad early. And I talked about this before, I think, on one of the shows, how my dad was murdered when I was 17 years old. Probably one of the craziest things ever. I had saw him earlier in the day, and he had come to borrow my car. Everything was great, you know. And it was funny because I had a sister who was very sick at that time, and she was in the hospital, and they told us that they'd given her like 3 months to live. And she was very young. And my dad didn't know how to cope with that. He was having a real hard time with that. The fact that they're telling him that one of his kids may pass away. And he just didn't know how to deal with that. So we were churchgoers, but my dad didn't really go to church with us. So he had made a decision to try to, you know, he had committed to my mom that he was going to go to church with us that weekend. My mom had his suit out, hanging up. You know, she was ready because she was pretty excited because he didn't come to church with us that often. And that month leading up to this, he had actually stopped drinking. He had made a decision that, you know what, I need to stop drinking so much. Maybe I need to cut back and, you know, not do this and, you know, try to really be more present with my family. And so all of us were like in a really good place. All right, you know, dad's doing this, he's doing this. This is working, right? And little did we know that the night before my dad passed away, he had gone to the hospital. He worked in the same hospital where my sister was sick. And he had gone to her room. He got off work early morning, like 7 a.m. He had gone into my sister's room around 6 a.m. And we found this out years later. Gone into her room, and he was so distraught about her being so sick. We had never heard our dad pray, but he knew the Bible inside and out. He went in there and he prayed over my sister. And he thought she was asleep, but she wasn't asleep. And he prayed. My sister told us years later, the most powerful prayer she had ever heard. Because he prayed and he asked God if he would spare her life to take his, he would do it. It was like, spare my child, God, and you can take me. I'm ready. And that evening, my dad was murdered. My sister didn't share that story with us for years because she carried the guilt. And she felt like it was her fault that my dad died because he prayed that prayer and no one knew it but her. She carried that with her for years. And so for me, when I say fathers are protectors, they're there to, you know, just look over us. It really, for me, it holds true because he said, for me, my dad, he put his life on the line. And it's kind of funny how God works, right? Because my dad prayed that prayer and then he gets murdered for trying to protect someone. He was protecting a friend who had gotten into an argument and stood up to walk out of the restaurant and someone put 3 bullets in him. So, and when I share that story, it just brings back so many memories, right? And like, I love my dad and miss him dearly. Lost him at a very young age at a time where a young girl really needs her father. 17 years old. But today was a life, like I learned so much from that.
When you hear a story of that intensity, right, it causes all of us to reflect in some way. It evokes emotion. It does so many different things. Your dad was like, I didn't get a chance to know him a lot.
You right? didn't. You barely met him.
Yeah. But I knew of him.
You knew of him. Yes.
And he was like the coolest dude.
He was.
So
he was.
So tell us a little bit about the lighter side of your father.
Right? He was a joker.
Yes.
Yeah, my dad was a joker.
And tell us what you loved about him in the more fun sense.
He was a joker. My dad was 6'4". He was tall. Like he was He would be like a gentle giant. Yes. He talked much stuff, right? And he made it known that if you bothered his family, you know, you're going to regret it, right? So he looked after us, but he was so, the smallest, minute things, he was so scary.
Yes.
He would just, like, I don't know if any of you know, but growing up in Florida, we had, like, big
insect,
okay? Yeah.
Yes.
And we had these big, I don't know what you call them, but we called them roaches, big, just, but it was a name for them, and they fly, right? They would drop out of the tree, and they'll just fly, and they were huge.
Yes.
And one night in our house, one started flying around the house, and my dad literally ran out of the house screaming, telling my mom to kill it. Like, he's like, wait, where are you going? Like, it was just hilarious.
So if you bother my family.
Yeah.
Yes.
But send a flying bug around me. I'm out. I can't handle it, man. I'm out. But he was hilarious. He was funny. Everybody loved to be around him because he was just so much fun.
Very consistent worker, too. Hard worker.
Yeah, hard worker. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so absolutely.
I appreciate you sharing your story. It's not an easy story to tell.
No, it isn't.
Yeah. And I believe that my dad often gets shortchanged in my story because, you know, often say I grew up to a single parent. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom was 18 when she had me. And you know, the reality is he played a really vital role there. And so I like to maybe just give my dad a high five and a hand clap.
Yeah. Yeah, your dad was a smooth cat.
So,
now, I spent a lot of time with your dad. And your dad was, I'm telling you, if you guys were to see Michael's dad and Michael standing next to each other, identical twins. Identical build, structure, mannerism, everything about them. It's almost scary because
I didn't grow up with them.
No. Yeah. Identical personalities, everything. Your dad was he was so cool, so smooth. Yeah. Yeah. I loved your dad. He was really good. Yeah.
Okay, so you said he was really smooth, really, and you said I was just like him.
Uh-huh. There you go.
I accept that. Uh-huh. Yes, good.
No, but speaking of fathers, mm-hmm. and talking about growing up with your dad, not growing up with your dad, you know, there are statistics that say that over 70% of kids grow up in single family homes. That's 70, a lot.
70% of,
over 70%
of all kids?
Yes. And then the majority, it's over 70% of black.
Okay. Black families.
Black families.
Okay.
Grow up in single family homes. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. Do you know what the total would be for all families?
And I think it's 30 something percent of white families.
Right. One parent?
Yeah.
So that's a 40% gap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's a lot. But having dads in the home, I think it's so important. It makes a difference. It's important.
I think having mom and dad.
Yeah.
We've got a really good friend who's a single dad who's done a great job with his
great
kids.
Job.
And mom hasn't been there. Had her own demons and isn't present in the family at all, at any relationship, not even checking in from time to time very much. So just a real shout out, whether you're a single dad or a single mom, right? Just a real shout out to both of you. I know it's Father's Day and that's our emphasis today. But those of you who are out there who are making it happen as a single parent, whether you be a dad or a mom, we just want to give you a big high five, a big shout out, and just say that the human spirit is the world's greatest superhero. I know it's difficult at times. And parents, whether you have one parent or two, and especially when you have one, certainly is difficult. But we just, you know, want to just encourage you to keep going. Try not to do it alone. I think there are a lot of people around. We certainly, our buddy who has, who's a single dad, we certainly try to be there for him and try to help out when we can. And so know that you are part of a greater community. Hopefully, you know, you may have a church community around you, but there's a greater community beyond that. You are amazing. You're awesome. You're great. Big up to dads. We're high-fiving dads today. Bam! That's for you dads and single parents, whether you be mom or dad. Bam! We got you too. So so we really just want to encourage us to have stronger relationships, right? So moms, help those dads be better dads. Dads, help moms be better moms. And all of us, let's get egos out of the way, because that's one of the biggest things, is us not talking between each other and letting stuff build up. Build bridges, not fences. And let's continue to work at this. And dads, big ups. All parents, bigger ups.
All parents, bigger ups. Okay. You got me on that one. Okay, so would you like to say anything else about fathers?
I think I've had my closing remarks. Okay. I think that's it. Just big ups to dads. And dads, okay. I will have parting remarks. Dads, do this for us. Notice this. Whatever job you do, you had to work at it. You're better today than you were before, mm-hmm. right? When you first started the job, mm-hmm. right? And for many of us, we've had to go through different processes in order to qualify that job. Maybe you had to have some kind of certification. Maybe you went to college or university. Maybe you have to go on and take continuing education, mm-hmm. right? We don't think about that in terms of our role as parents. So mm-hmm. as dads, we should be getting better, right? We should work at it. We should spend time at it. Think about how do I become a better dad? Look at examples of people. Remember both good and bad examples of your own growing up. Sometimes we can learn as much from the challenging things as we can from the good things. And so be proud of our fathers and, you know, whatever they went through, because, you know, they only had a certain level of experience at their time. But in saying that, let's continue to grow. Let's continue to learn as dads. Become an all-star dad.
Yeah, I like that. And let's continue to just communicate as families, right? The family dynamic is so important. So, and communication is so important. So let's just find that sweet spot as a family, right?
I like that.
So, sweet spotters.
If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to our podcast. Would you do that for us? We love comments and all that kind of thing, but subscribe. That's the big thing.
Subscribe.
I say sweet. You say spot. Sweet
spot.